Paul Tonko, let's talk about the TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You're the whip.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you're into S&M. It means that, you know, you're responsible for getting the votes against
right.
it.
Yeah, I got very involved with a small group of us that was working the Democratic caucus to vote against Fast Track. I really do think that it circumvents congressional responsibility. And commerce and trade are a major part of the focus that we should have and the impact that we should have.
Yeah, but you're a Democrat and the president was pushing it.
Well, you know, on this we parted company. I love our president. I respect him. He's done great things. He stopped the bleeding of the recession, turned the economy around, has invested in research and innovation. We're great on energy policy. But on this one, this is like NAFTA on steroids. And I saw what NAFTA had done to manufacturing jobs.
You mean the president didn't see? You say I saw
well,
what it's done.
Well, people may interpret stats differently, but in my calculus, it was NAFTA not being a good outcome for manufacturing. I think that, look, when people will respond when they hear you've been whipping against Fast Track and against these trade negotiated trade settlements, and so therefore conclude that you're against trade. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm for trade. I want balanced trade. I want fair trade, not free trade. And when we take these settlements, these negotiated contracts with, in this case, 40% of the world's economy, 40% of the world GDP, it's a major ripple effect. It's a huge wave of outcome. And while many would suggest that, well, President Nixon came up with this device of a fast track, things perhaps were different. Maybe they were pretty much standard tariff contracts where they addressed tariff trade barriers. But these settlement packages are much more than that. They're public policy woven into these very secretive, or shouldn't say secretive, but deals that are put together without any input from the House or from Congress. And you know, public policy that would range from environmental standards to the right to collective bargaining to public health protections to public safety measurements, currency manipulation, not even a part of the package, but they'll roll in this other policy effort that really enables corporations to undo regulations.
Well, but assuming for a second, Paul Tonko, that you're right about everything you're saying,
yeah.
How could the president be so wrong? The president you love.
I do respect and love the president. I think that, you know, there are different ways to calculate the data and different dynamics that people will introduce. But
well, could he just feel, I'm sorry for interrupting, but could he just feel that, you know, Congress a pain in the rear and he would rather not have them interfering with his ability to make these deals?
Well, many will argue that there's so many countries involved in such a huge economic impact here and so many variables and dynamics that it's difficult to get Congress involved. Well, the way we get involved was to go into these tunnels and into these deep channels and read these contracts and look at the language and then ask questions. But then you're held, you can't share that information. And when it comes to the eventual outcome, we don't get any robust debate. We have just limited hours of debate and then thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, yeah. But the head guy in China, some would call him a dictator, some would call him a president, certainly not democratically chosen, doesn't have to worry about, you know, his Congress
right.
getting in the way.
Right. So they just tell you this is the way it is. And, but our system of government is different.
Yeah, but then we lose in terms of our competition with China. I'm just making the argument. I happen to be with you on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just simply making the argument why sometimes democracy is inconvenient.
Well, I would suggest here, though, with these settlements, when they're agreed to, when the ink dries and they're all approved, then you're beholden to that effort. So we may lose some of the tools in the kit. You know, sanctions or various factors that could cut off trade with some of our partners. We trade now with countries. We can use some of the dynamics at our fingertips to make it fairer. But bottom line, Alan, when you ask, you know, about the difference here, my concern is that in looking at these recent efforts with NAFTA and moving forward, the bottom line of weakness to me is enforceability. You can come up with these standards and make it sound like we're moving toward fairer government in these countries. For instance, in Vietnam, you have 56 cents, I believe, per hour as a wage. If you're trying to fix that and you're putting demands on Vietnam in these contracts, if they just turn their back to you and later just never get in, get the powers of enforcement coming their way, what did we gain? But we may have sold off our rights to reach to other tools in the kit that immediately would say, okay, Vietnam, you want to trade with us? This is what you have to fix. You know, they turn the other way. People are, when they challenge some of these governments, when their people challenge some of their governments, you know, the vindication out there is tremendous. Many times people are finding themselves incarcerated because they challenge the government. In some of the countries, there's one union and it's government controlled. Sure. So there's a lot of egregious quality out there, a lot of injustice that has to be fixed. I say fix it first if you want fair trade and balanced trade. But to rely on these contracts, the enforceability hasn't been there.
Good point. It's a
very and there's
point.
These courts in there that are these tribunals where you can undo regulation if you see it as a cost of business. And they're stacked. The memberships on these courts are all corporate types.
Sure. Paul Tonko, that's a very good explanation, but I wanted to save 2 minutes for just my fun time with you, and that is the politics. As we speak this morning, I'm on the Great Bike, and I'm watching Bernie Sanders on the tube, and he's giving a hell of a speech, most of which I really agree with. And he's coming up in the polls fast with the progressive groups within the Democratic Party. Is this a threat to Hillary?
I think it's a challenge to anyone in the presidential sweepstakes because, you know, there's a lot of fixing that's required out there with federal issues. Is it a threat? I think it may be a good thing for everyone, including Bernie, in these presidential sweepstakes to air these issues and these solutions. And and if people endorse those things, it just makes your voice the stronger.
But can he win
in the campaign?
I mean, I love the guy, but the question is, would you rather have, you know, Lindsey Graham or somebody like that, or would you rather have Hillary Clinton?
Right. I think that it's, number one, it's so early in the sweepstakes that a lot of people aren't engaged yet, and I think we're pushing this so hard that there's a long time to come yet before the election. And second of all, I think, you know, people will be well served by robust debate. I think that sharpens everyone's skills and certainly sharpens the message that candidates will be attaching to their persona, to their image in this campaign network. And I think that's a good thing in terms of, you know.
But you've declared for Hillary, right?
I haven't officially, and I think that, you know, endorsements in my mind are a good tool, but there's an appropriate time. There's a best time when you share those and would want to do that at the best time.
Okay, so I have a question. We only have 47 seconds left. Your dream team, who would you like to see run for president on the Republican side? Just to make trouble.
Who would I like to see the candidate?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The field is so... I really don't know. I think I watch a lot of it and I shake my head.
It's great to talk to Paul Tonko. Paul, you're terrific. And we thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being with us.
Always, Paul, a great time to be with the terrific doctor.
Paul Tonko, representative, Democrat from New York's 20th district. He's been in Congress since 2009 and before that, a legend in the New York State Legislature.
Thank you.